Well, every family needs a redeemer. Just mentioned kind of what they are with the kids. We're going to say it again, but I want to say first that every family needs a redeemer in it. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's someone else in your family. But I can guarantee you that if your family looks anything like a family at all, if your family functions together, if you see each other ever, if you care about each other even the tiniest bit, your family has a redeemer present. And let me try to explain. A family redeemer is someone who's always there to help another out of trouble. Or when mom and dad are getting old and it's time for kids to start taking over their bills and their business and taking care of the household, that would be probably the family redeemer who steps up to take care of that family business. When you have a child or a sibling or a cousin, someone who just doesn't quite get things like budgeting and financial matters and they need help a lot, the family redeemer is the one who's going to step up to help them through that situation, whatever it may be and whatever it may take. When you don't live near one another and someone takes the lead in organizing things so your family gets together and you look like a family every now and then, you get together and you care about each other, otherwise you just never see one another, chances are it's that family redeemer who's doing the work of pulling people together, making calls, inviting, sometimes badgering people into coming to those family events so that you can be a family, doing their best to bring together siblings and cousins and in-laws and aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces and all these people together as one group. Every family needs a redeemer. They would be that person you always can go to for help if you're in trouble yourself, if you know someone else who needs help. If you had to stop and think and ask yourself, if I ever got put in jail at 2 a.m. in the morning and I needed to call someone for bail and I know they would show up, that's that family redeemer you're thinking of, that person. These people are like the glue that hold our families together, our little families and our extended families too. I was trying to think of something to illustrate this idea of a family redeemer, and to be honest, what came to my mind first was a movie. And you may have seen this movie before. Now it's actually getting to be a little bit older movie. I think it came out in the late 80s. And this movie is, well, I remember watching it a lot as a kid on TV, so it's probably a classic by now, I'm sure. No, it's not really the kind of movie to be a classic, but it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Have you ever seen that one? Some people are laughing already. Others are looking at me like, what is that? I have no idea. Some blank faces. That's okay. So some people remember that movie. The main character is a guy named Clark Griswold, his wife Ellen, and they have two kids. Clark is like the family man's family man, and his life is all about his family. He's the one who goes above and beyond to try and make a nice home for his wife and his kids, even if he doesn't always succeed in that. Clark goes above and beyond to host a Christmas gathering for his family, to bring together grandparents and his whole family, kids and in-laws and cousins and more. And of course, it's a comedy movie, and I can't go into every joke. We don't have time, but you know, wacky things happen. They go overboard with the Christmas lights and light up the whole neighborhood. The turkey for the meal is way overdone, and weird things happen with that. And pets and kids are causing problems all over the place. And through the whole movie, Clark is just, he's trying to hold it together, trying to make it to the end of Christmas and make it so everyone has a good time. And you might be remembering this movie or remembering it a little more. And so in this movie, Clark's match, his worst enemy and his best friend, today we'd call it a frenemy, his best frenemy in this movie is Cousin Eddie. And you remember Cousin Eddie. Cousin Eddie, Clark has to love him, and yet this person tests his goodwill the most. Cousin Eddie, instead of staying in the home or a hotel, he shows up in this monster, ugly RV that's like 20 years old. Cousin Eddie is the kind of guy that he meets him for breakfast, and he's drinking light beer for breakfast. Cousin Eddie, he drains his RV septic tank into the street in front of Clark's home. He's got no manners. He's got kids with no manners. He invites himself to stay in their driveway to live there for like a month at least, right? He's that kind of guy. Eddie is the kind of guy you really have to try to be kind to. Do you have an Eddie in your life? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, I think when we think about this, and we think about people like that, and not to say, hey, we're better than them, but we're tempted to look at our families sometimes as a drain. Like they're here to just take and take and take from us. And we think of ourselves as people who give and give and give. You know, too often it's difficult for us to look at our families like they're blessings. We don't always see our families as people whom God has given us to love and to care for. We often begin to see our families as burdens. We can do that. And this can happen no matter who you are. When you have in-laws and cousins who are just hard to get along with, we can begin to see our family as a drain on us, as a burden. Or when you have parents and you don't like the way they act, you don't understand the things they do, and you ask yourself inside, why are my parents the way they are? We can begin to see our family as a burden. Or when you have parents maybe who are aging, and it's through no fault of their own, but suddenly they need a lot more help. Or another person in your family needs a lot more help through injury or illness or something like that, and you have to become a caregiver, we can start to feel like our families are a burden if we have to take care of more and more needs for our families. Or when you have kids, big kids or little kids, kids demand a lot of you, it is easy to start seeing your family as a burden. And little kids, I am there. My family's not here, by the way, because our son is sick, and I was up all night with him clinging to me, and that's what made him feel good. So that's what we did. When you find yourself, or I should say whether you find yourself in that role of family redeemer or not, it's easy for us to sometimes think of ourselves as people who give and give and give. And it's easy for us to think of our families as people who take and take and take. Ruth's story today can give us a little bit of insight into our families, into the way that they work. And remember what's happened so far. We see these two characters, Ruth and Naomi. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law, so Ruth is her daughter-in-law, but they're both widows. Their husbands have died, and really, Ruth and Naomi, they've only got each other. There's no one else looking out for them. They move to Bethlehem, a town where Naomi has some family whom they can stay with. And last week, we heard about how Ruth then, the first thing she did was she went out into the fields to basically pick up leftovers. She's got to take care of herself. She's got to take care of Naomi. So she goes to pick up some leftovers from the fields. What the farmers don't gather, what they don't harvest, she goes to pick up the leftovers so that she can take this grain and make some bread to feed herself and Naomi for the day. Well, out in the fields, Ruth encountered this man named Boaz. And Boaz owned the field in which she was working. She was picking up these leftovers. And Boaz was kind to Ruth. Boaz didn't just let her go and gather the leftovers. Boaz shared his food with Ruth. Boaz gave Ruth his protection. Boaz told Ruth not even to gather those leftovers, but he said, come on up. Come and work in the middle of my workers here where there's lots of freshly cut grain for you to gather. You don't have to pick up the leftovers. I'll let you work with my workers too. There's plenty of grain to go around up here. And even though she didn't deserve it, Boaz treated Ruth like family. And today, at the very beginning of our reading, we read that Ruth gathered an ephah of grain, a lot of grain, enough to feed her and her mother-in-law for several days. And Naomi was amazed at how much food Ruth returned with, and then she says something that starts to explain what's going on. Her mother-in-law asked her, that is, Naomi asked Ruth, where did you glean today? And gleaning was that act of picking up the leftovers. Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. And then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. And then Naomi's response begins to explain why Boaz did what he did. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. And we're going to get into a little bit of Hebrew here because Naomi just told us who this man is, and we want to pay attention to that because that's important. She says he is a guardian redeemer. And here's a tip, too. When you're reading your Bible and you see something really, a phrase that's really awkward, a phrase as awkward as he is one of our guardian-redeemers, that tells you something. And what it tells you is that the really smart people who were translating your Bible from, in this case, Hebrew into English, they were struggling to translate something. They had to get this concept across, but one word just would not do it. And what she's saying, when Naomi says that Boaz is a guardian redeemer, she's talking about a very simple concept in Hebrew, but that's not a concept that we have in English, in America today, 21st century America. And you probably know this. Different languages sometimes have words that don't translate easily. They don't translate directly. And it's not because those words are especially complicated, but it's because the concepts behind those words sometimes don't even exist in different cultures, in different languages, across people groups. And so what Naomi says to Ruth, when she says, he is our guardian redeemer, she says, he is our goel. That's the Hebrew word, goel. And the remarkable thing about this Hebrew word, goel, is that it puts together a bunch of family concepts that we don't normally put together as Americans today. And to say that Boaz is their goel, it has many different meanings. Fundamentally, kind of the, if there was one phrase or one word to really get at this, to say that Boaz is our redeemer, our goel, it's to say that Boaz is a guy who acts like family to us, who really does what a family member is supposed to do. Goel is the Hebrew word, for example, for the next of kin. When someone would die, the goel is the person who takes care of that person's business, acting like a family member would do. A goel had the responsibility of maintaining their family financial wellness, their property and their financial wellness. And so if someone in your family, for example, fell on hard times and they were forced to sell a piece of the family land in order to make it financially, the goel, the redeemer, his job was to buy back that piece of property so it would stay in the family. If someone falls on hard times, has to sell the family farm, this goel guy, it's his job to make sure the family keeps it. Maybe you've had someone in your family sell the family farm before. If a person in your family was in even worse condition, and they not only had to sell the family farm, but they had to sell themselves as a slave, the same thing happened. The goel, his job was to redeem that person, to buy them back so that the family would stay whole, literally, to redeem it. If a family member had a crime committed against them, it was the goel, his job was to make sure that justice is done. So in every way, you can see how these things, these different meanings, these different responsibilities, they all come together towards just what you're going to do towards a family member, towards someone you really care about, towards someone you have a responsibility to care for. And so Boaz had the job of caring for family members physically and financially. Boaz had the job of taking care of family business on behalf of people both alive and dead. Boaz was the goel. Boaz was the family redeemer, kind of the glue for that family to hold them together. And this word, it's interesting, is all over the Old Testament because Scripture doesn't just use this word goel to describe a particular role within a Hebrew family. Scripture also uses this word to describe God's actions toward us, toward you and me. So, for example, in the book of Job, when Job makes his famous declaration, I know that my Redeemer lives and in the end he will stand on the earth. He's expressing this sure confidence that God will save him. The word he uses is goel. In the Psalms, Psalm 119, for example, when the psalmist cries out to God, defend me and redeem me, preserve my life according to your purpose, God, he's saying, God, be my goel, be my Redeemer. When the prophet Jeremiah is speaking about God's people, and he says, their Redeemer is strong, the Lord Almighty is his name, he's saying that God is the goel, the Redeemer for all of God's people. And so this word, it's not just a family word, but it describes God's attitude and actions towards us, his people. And ultimately, fundamentally, kind of the mind-blowing thing when we're talking about God's attitude towards us is that it simply means to act like a family member should act. That is how God acts towards us. And so God is the Redeemer of his people. And when we today, we proclaim that Christ is our Redeemer, we're saying all of this too. We're saying that Jesus is the one who rescues us when we're in trouble. We're saying that Jesus is the one who pays the price when we screw up. When we have sins and failures, Jesus pays the price for that. He redeems us. We're saying that Jesus is the one who seeks justice for us when we have been wronged. Through the cross, Jesus is doing for us today what a family does for one another. Or I can say that Jesus is doing for us what a family is supposed to do for one another, because we know that Jesus is a better brother than you or I could ever be. We know that God our Father is a better father than you or I could ever be. And the good news for you and me is that God is our goel. He's our family man. He's our redeemer. And so every family needs a redeemer. That's what God does for us. And in Israelite society, that role was actually built into families. But we know, and maybe you've realized that, in America today, that role of redeemer, that person who holds the family together, that person who watches out for everyone in the family and kind of glues it together, we don't really have that role built into our modern day families like the Hebrews did back then. But let me encourage you to be that redeemer for your family today. Because when you are there to guard your family from hardship, you're living as Jesus lives. When you're there to seek justice in your family's name, you're living as Jesus lives. When you're there to care for your family in every situation, you're living as Jesus lives. Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and let's never forget that our very closest neighbors are mothers, fathers, children, brothers, sisters, cousins, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and those people you can think of. Strive to be the family redeemer within your family because your family needs you. And let's be honest, this can be hard, right? It can be really hard to be the caregiver when people around you have many needs. It's easy for us to start thinking sometimes that we give and give and give while our family takes and takes and takes. And, you know, we sometimes forget about the fact that we've taken a lot from our family too, and they have given us a lot. But that means that being a family redeemer doesn't necessarily start with an action, but it starts with a heart change. We need to learn to see our families as a blessing before we're willing to make sacrifices for them. We've got to recognize God built your family. God built your family. You didn't get to choose your parents or your brothers and sisters. You didn't get to choose your children. God has placed you where you're at to serve the people of your family. Martin Luther, the reformer, he had this to say about mothers and fathers, and it applies to the rest of our family too. He said it's the duty of a father and mother, and he's no, not the duty, but it's the very purpose that God made a mother and a father, is to teach children, to lead them to God according to the command of God. I believe we can say the same thing about children. It's the very purpose of children to serve and love their parents, to lead them to God according to the command of God. It's the very purpose that God made brothers and sisters to love, to serve brothers and sisters, to lead them to God according to the command of God. It's the very purpose that God has made grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, so on and so forth. It's the very purpose that God has made you a cousin of your cousins, to serve them and to lead them to God and so on. Your family is no accident. Your family is no mistake. It's no random chance. God has placed you where you're at to serve the people of your family. You know, this is one place where Christians, we need to be different from our society. Because it's sad to say that our culture doesn't really see the value in families today. Here's a sentiment, a statement. I'm sure that many of us have heard this or something like it before. Something like, you know, your real family, I think I saw this on Facebook this week. Your real family isn't the people you're born with. It's the people who you choose to love or the people who choose to love you. I've ever heard something like that. Right? You can choose your family. Now, that sounds nice to us. And I don't want to say anything bad about friends. It is, in fact, a beautiful thing when someone goes to someone and loves them and cares for them like a family member, even when you're not. I mean, that's what we see Boaz do in our story. That's a beautiful thing. But the idea that we can just forget about our families and choose another one of our own that fits us a little better, that is not true. The families we're born into are the families that God has chosen for us. And those families, no matter how peaceful they may be, no matter how combative they may be, no matter how happy or sad together they may be, no matter how much you love them or even sometimes hate them, the truth is our families don't need us to abandon them. Our families need us to redeem them. Our families need us to redeem them, and that happens through love, through service, through the transforming power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit working in us and through us as we live life serving our families. And so this season, as you get to see your family so much in this next couple weeks, right, be a family redeemer. Be someone who invests in your family no matter what their needs, no matter who they are. Amen.